Good morning, everyone. We welcome you sincerely to our morning service in the Lord's great name. We're glad of your presence. It's turned out to be quite a wet and inclement morning, a difficult time just for coming into the service. We appreciate your presence with us. And we're going to just read one verse, the Psalm 68, the verse 19. It's a reminder of God's faithfulness and provision for us, his bountiful provision. The psalmist said, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." And there's a selah at the end of the verse. Remember, that's a pause when the Lord's encouraging us to stop and just to ponder the words that we have just read. So think of the fact that he daily loads us with benefits. And it's good to ponder that and to give thanks to the Lord for his goodness as we come into his house today. The first psalm is our opening praise, that man of perfect blessedness who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way. So we'll stand as we sing the words of the first psalm together, please. Let's just bow together before the throne of grace and prayer. We'll take a moment just to set our hearts as we come to the Lord. The scriptures tell us that our days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. How quickly the last week has passed. How quickly the time has gone since last Sabbath morning when we gathered here. It's a reminder of the fact that the time is short. Our time on this earth is short. And the great need there is to redeem the time that we have. May the Lord grant us his grace and power to do that. So let's just seek his face together. Father, we praise thee for thy day. Thank you for the Sabbath of rest. We're glad of the first day of the week. Your word says on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. And Lord, we recognize even from the psalm that we've read how you've blessed us, how you've prospered us, how you've provided so bountifully for us. We'd want to be mindful, Father, of all your goodness, the fact that you do daily load us with benefits. We want, Father, as we enter into your house today, to give thee the praise, the worship of our hearts. We remember the Queen of Sheba when she came to Solomon. The scriptures tell us that he gave to her out of his bounty, out of the royal bounty. And Lord, we acknowledge today what we have received from thy hand, out of your royal bounty, not just the temporal blessings, but we give thee praise today, Father, for every spiritual blessing you've bestowed upon us, especially those in the gathering that know Christ as their Savior. We thank you, Father, for ever choosing us in Christ. We thank you for ever setting your love upon us, that you've chosen us in Christ before the foundation of this world. We thank you for the great plan of salvation. We thank you for your love, the depth of that love, the greatness of it towards us. And Lord, as we enter into your house on this Sabbath morning, our prayer would be that you'll touch our hearts afresh with the love of Christ towards us. Save us, Father, from coldness of heart. Save us, Father, from apathy and indifference. Help us today to look away to Calvary, to look away to the cross, to consider him, to consider our Savior, the one that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. We're thankful too, Father, for the opportunity just to meet around thy table for a little while. We want to ask, Father, that you'll bless that time. We pray that you'll save us from the routine. We want to ask that it might be a time when we meet with the Lord. And we ask thee, Father, to come today and meet with us. We pray that you'll come and sit with us today at the table. We pray that through this day, the morning service, the communion, the gospel meeting tonight, that your house will be filled with your presence, filled with your glory. Lord, we're pleading with thee that you'll come and be amongst us today. The psalmist could say, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And Lord, that would be our prayer, our burden, our longing, as we come into your house today, just to sense that the Lord of hosts is with us. We thank you, Father, for your people. We praise thee for the families of this congregation. We want to thank you today for their fellowship in the bonds of the gospel. And Lord, bless our fellowship today would be our earnest cry. We're glad you've brought us to your house. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. We praise thee, Father, for the freedom we have to come to your house. And we want to pray that that freedom will ever be preserved and maintained in this land of ours. Lord, we thank you for health and strength that enables us to be at the house of God. We're conscious that there's times we take our health so much for granted. But we want to praise thee, Father, for giving us soundness of body and of mind. And we want to thank you, Father, for the brothers and sisters that are gathered today. Bless us each one. Make us a blessing, the one to the other. Make us each channels of blessing as we come to your house today. We pray that you'll enable us to exhort one another just in the very trying days in which we're found. We want to pray, Father, that you'll come down and tabernacle amongst us. We pray you'll come and minister to our hearts today. We ask for help, especially in the preaching of thy word, the ministry of thy word. We pray that you'll break the bread of life to us. We're asking, Father, that you might even let us see things today in the scriptures that we have never seen before. We pray that you'll open our eyes, that we may behold great and wondrous things from out of thy law. We do want to thank you, Father, especially for the meetings down in Killalay during the past week. We thank, Father, of how prayer was answered for those meetings in so many ways. We want to magnify thee today for your faithfulness. Lord, as we think of this very wet morning, and yet We remember the evenings that you gave for all of those meetings, night by night. So we praise thee, Father, for your hand upon the weather. We thank you for your hand upon the children as they came back and forth, for watching over them. We thank you for their safe keeping, preserving them, and their going out and coming in. We do praise thee, Father, for so many children that came. Even the comment that was made that the whole village had come to attend those meetings. And what a blessing, Father, it was to have so many boys and girls present. Night by night, we want to give to thee the praise. We can say it's the Lord's doing. It's marvellous in our eyes. Thank you for all the work that was done for those meetings, for blessing your servants and their labours. We want to thank you, Father, for answering a prayer for those meetings in such a definite way, for giving our sister Shannon help as well to teach the boys and girls the scriptures, the stories of thy word, the setting forth so plainly of the gospel message. And Lord, we ask for fruit from those meetings. We're praying, Father, for much fruit. We want to pray especially for the fruit of salvation. We want to pray, Father, it'll be evident in coming days of children that were converted to Christ through those meetings as the word of God came to their hearts. We pray, Father, that even in these next few weeks that there'll be reports come back to the leaders, even of how God has spoken and how God has ministered to their hearts. We pray, Father, encourage us in the days in which we're found. Help us to lift our eyes from ourselves, from the circumstances that are so prevalent all around us. We're conscious, Father, of the difficult days in which we live practically and temporally. And Lord, we think of the increasing prices of goods all around us, goods that are used every day. And Lord, help us just to keep our eyes upon thee. We remember that you're Jehovah Jireh. You're the Lord that provides. You provide our every need. We're able to testify, Father, each one to that this day. We remember the widow's barrel that never failed. And Lord, help us just ever to put thee first in our lives. You've assured us. You've pledged. We claim the promise today that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things, all the things of life, all the needs that we have day by day, they will be added unto us. Lord, bless the missionary cause of the church in these days in which we're found as well. Remember our sister as she conducts her final meetings. We pray that she'll know just the help of God. Thank you for sustaining grace over this very long period of deputation, for travelling mercies that has been granted, for times of refreshing that have been experienced, the time of rest now for these next few weeks soon to be upon her sister, and plans to return to the land of her calling, the application too for the needed visa. We commit all of these things just into your hands, Father. We want to pray for the Hamiltons today in Kenya as they will minister there for these next few weeks. Lord, give them help, we pray. Use them mightily. We pray that you'll keep them in health and strength. We're mindful as well of the Kirkskadens at Emmanuel in Uganda. Thank you for safe travel for them as well. And Lord, our prayer is that your hand will be upon their labours also today and in coming days. And Lord, enable us all in the days in which we're found just to lift up our eyes and to look on the fields, see that they're white already on to harvest. Help us, Father, to be busy for the Master. We realise, Father, just how short our time really is upon this earth. We're mindful, Father, of that fact so keenly, and we pray that you'll enable us to put our hand to the gospel plough and not to look back, and that whatever our hand finds to do for Christ our Saviour, that we'll do it with all our might. Answer, Father, these are prayers today. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together, please, in the book of Hosea, the Old Testament scriptures. The prophecy of Hosea. It's the end of the fifth chapter, and we're reading into the sixth. I beg your pardon, it's actually the book of Amos, my mistake, I'm very sorry. Amos chapter 5, and reading into the sixth chapter. So we're beginning at the 21st verse of the fifth chapter of Amos. And we're going to read down to the end of the sixth verse of the sixth chapter. Amos 5, the 21st verse. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts. The Lord says, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye on to Calne, and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. We're closing there, the end of the sixth verse, that sixth chapter, and we're praying the Lord will bless today to every heart the public reading of his word. We're thankful for your presence at morning worship. We want you to know that we appreciate your presence. We're thankful for your fellowship, the opportunity to meet together the first day of the week, to exhort and encourage one another in the things of God. Remember, there's no better way to begin any week than in the Lord's house, giving thanks for blessing that are past, and committing ourselves and our way into his hands for the week that lies before us. So we're glad to see each one, thankful for all the young people and the children that are present at this time. There's some that are away, and from now on over these next few months there will be folks away quite regularly. But we're glad to see all that have come, and we welcome also those that are watching on the live stream today. Pray that you'll be blessed through the meeting and the preaching of God's word. I want to thank the leaders down in Killalea, and for all that helped night by night with the meetings. We want to thank each one for all the time at work that was put into arranging and conducting the Killalea Holiday Bible Club Monday to Thursday of this past week. It certainly was a very encouraging times, or a very encouraging time. There was great attendances. There was 66 on the first night, on Monday evening. And the meetings averaged in and around the 60 for the rest of the week. So we do rejoice in that, the great response that there was, the encouragement for our leaders down in Killalea. The children were all well behaved, and they listened very well, participated well in the meetings too, and the quiz. The weather was very suitable for the outdoor meetings, for which we want to give the Lord the thanks and the glory. Our sister Shannon Ross from the Randallstown Church did very well in conducting the meetings. She spoke on some of the soldiers of the Bible. And as you would appreciate, I may never march with the infantry was the theme chorus night by night for the whole week. So we give thanks to everyone that made those meetings such a success. We pray for souls to be saved. We pray that it will please the Lord to bring a good number of those children back to the weekly meeting again in the autumn time. Remember, there's communion immediately after this morning service. It'll be served today just in the normal, the usual way. We encourage as many of the Lord's people as possible to remain for the breaking of bread. And just sit where you are. Just remain in the seat where you are. And we will be able to serve you in those seats. So there's no need to move after the morning service. 6 o'clock tonight is the prayer meeting downstairs, the church hall. 6:30, the gospel meeting. We'll be speaking tonight on the 3 hours of the gospel. So we appeal to you to come along to that meeting, give support to the gospel service tonight. Wednesday evening at 8, the midweek meeting, it'll be a missionary deputation. Our brother Derek Maxwell from the Slavic Gospel Association will be along to report and to make a presentation of their work and ministry. Derek has been with us at least a couple of times previously. I know that you've always been blessed by our brother's presence, his earnestness for the work, the clarity of the presentations that he has made. He has just returned from Ukraine last week, so the report on the situation there, the condition of the church, the Lord's people, will be right up to date. So we encourage you to come to the midweek service to hear our brother, and there will be a missionary offering taken at the close of that service for the Slavic Gospel Association. Next Lord's Day, the 3rd of July, 11:30 the morning service, 6:30 the evening meeting, the gospel service, 6 o'clock the time of prayer, and I'll be speaking at both of those meetings myself, Lord willing. Just to remind you, we're planning to move the midweek service back downstairs in a few weeks' time, Wednesday the 20th of July. There'll be no midweek service on the 13th of July, that Wednesday night, because of how it falls just in the holiday week. So the following week then, we will be moving back downstairs that Wednesday the 20th to the church hall. Keep in mind the missionary appeal for the church at Naporo in Kenya for the extension to their facilities of the church building there to facilitate just the growth that's taking place in the Early Child Development Centre that was commenced last year. So the cost to do that extension is about £2,500. We'd like to raise some money to help them with that, if possible. We'd like to raise the entire £2,500. So please keep that in mind and give to it as generously as you can. Just to give you advance notice that the annual field service that's held by the Windrum family in aid of the radio work, that radio work that's carried on by our brother John Morrison on 15 radio stations down across the border, across Southern Ireland. That annual field service will be held next Sunday afternoon at 3:30 out at the Windrums Farm. John Morrison will be the speaker, the singers Alex, Scott and David. And there will be a special meeting for the boys and girls with Auntie Joyce. That's Auntie Joyce Walsh. So keep the field meeting in mind. We encourage you to go along and give your support to it. And there will be an offering taken at the end of that for the radio work. Remember, we're planning to have an outreach on the 12th of July. If you can help with that, and we'd appreciate your help for a little while that day, let our brother Billy know just as soon as possible. Keep in mind the special service for our sister Joy, Sunday the 7th of August at 6:30 in the evening. We want to make you aware of that well in advance, as we are coming into the holiday time. So if you can, please plan to attend that night to encourage yourself or to encourage our sister. And the speaker that evening is the chairman of the mission board, the Reverend Ian Harris. Take a look at all the literature that's there, the LTBS Quarterly, the Farming in the Future magazine or leaflet, the Concordance to Prophecy. There's been a good interest in those. I think there was just one left as we're coming in. £1.50 each. If there's any more of those needed, we can bring a few more along to the church. Just a little update finally on Colin Green's dad, Edmund. Prayer's been answered for Edmund. He's having his surgery much sooner than expected. They had initially told him 4 to 6 weeks. He met the consultant at the end of the week, and God willing, that will be taking place this coming Friday, Friday the 1st of July. So pray that the Lord's hand will be upon Edmund during that major operation, please. We're going to sing together another hymn, a hymn about fellowship of the Lord's people. May this be our experience. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. So 619, and we're standing as we sing, please.
Oh,
We'll just bow together before the Lord. Heavenly Father, our prayer would be that we would know more of your presence as we continue on before thee. We ask, Father, that you'll come in a blessed way, a new way, even into our midst. As we gather around your word now, we ask thee to open the scriptures. We pray, Father, that you'll show us today great and wondrous things from out of thy law. We pray for hearts, Father, that are ready to receive and to obey the word of God. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. We pray, Father, for your presence to be known right throughout this day. We pray it will be a day that we'll look back to, that will be marked by the Lord being amongst his people in a very unusual and powerful manner. We ask thee, Father, that you'll remember our fellowship together, even as we have sung in these words, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Lord, we remember your word speaks of the common salvation, each one of us washed in the same blood, redeemed by the same Saviour. Lord, we thank you for that common experience that each of us have had by your grace and by the power of your Spirit. And help us ever to remember that we are brethren and sisters in Christ. And Lord, our prayer would be today, bless our fellowship, bless us the one with the other, bless our time in thy house. And Lord, even as the days, the weeks, the years go by, we pray that fellowship together will be stronger, more sweet, more blessed of God. We pray, Father, that you'll keep us in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We pray that we'll go forward with one accord. We'll go forward, Father, as one man, and we want to ask that you'll come and command your blessing mightily upon this work. So answer these are cries now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The words of the first verse of Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. The words at the very opening of the verse, the very opening of the chapter, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. An English teacher once gave the class an essay to write. The subject was quite plain and simple. The subject was simply the question, what? The class was given an hour to write their essay, to write their assignment. They all worked diligently to expand the word, to define the meaning of it. Some of them used pages of paper. One little lad was out through the door inside a minute. And whenever the teacher looked at his paper, found it very interesting. The boy had just simply written two words on the page, and the two words were, so what? And those words, brethren and sisters, are words that we use when we don't care about anything or don't care about something. Sometimes you hear people say, so what? And sadly, that is often our attitude as Christians. Often, it is our attitude as church members. Can I remind you this morning, brethren and sisters, that every believer should be a member of the local church, the local congregation. That is something that is scriptural, something very clearly taught in the Word of God. Whenever the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9, came to Jerusalem, it says that he essayed to join himself to the disciples. The words are very clear. They are very specific. So let me remind you of that. Every Christian should be a member. I want to emphasize it. And remember that membership not only brings privileges, it also brings with it responsibilities. But sadly, many members of the church can be very careless about those responsibilities and about their responsibility as a member. They don't care. They can be indifferent. They can be very slack about those responsibilities. They can be very slack with regard to what is expected from them. Sometimes your attitude can be and is, so what, when it comes to those things that are required of membership of the local church. So I want us to focus today on the subject of membership. I want us to think especially of the marks of a faithful church member. I want to answer the question, how should I live as a member? What should mark my life, my conduct, my character as a member of the local church? So we'll seek to give some answers to that question as time will allow. First of all, let me emphasize that church members should be clean. We sing the words, the famous, the lovely gospel hymn, "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" I pray that's your experience today. Each one, you know Christ, you've come to him for cleansing, you know your sins are forgiven, they're washed away in the Saviour's blood. Remember, things that are washed should be clean, and that should be true of the life of the child of God. The New Testament says very clearly, the exhortation is, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." So just stop for a moment and ask yourself the question, how clean is your life? How clean is your testimony? That's a very good question, brethren and sisters. Some of you will be familiar with the name of J.L. Kraft. Kraft's produced cheese and so forth for many years. He was a godly man, J.L. Kraft, the founder of that firm in Illinois in the United States. He was a deacon in one of the local Baptist churches. He spoke at meetings quite regularly. His life ministry was used of the Lord. We spoke a few weeks ago about serving the Lord with your mammon, and he was one of those that certainly did that, served the Lord with the wealth the Lord had bestowed upon him. On one occasion, he was in San Francisco. He was asked by some friends if he would visit Alcatraz prison. The friends had asked him to go there, knew someone in the prison. They were keen that the Lord's servant would go and witness, speak to that person about their soul. He found the experience very interesting. One of the guards took him in, led him along a corridor. On each side of the corridor, it was lined with steel. Then he came to the place where another guard was positioned. He saw a flash and he heard an unusual noise. And then the guard said to him, "You're clean. Go ahead, sir." He was a little surprised at that. He asked him, "What do you mean I'm clean?" Well, of course, the idea was he wasn't carrying any weapon. He had gone through a scanner. Remember, this is going back quite a few years ago when those things were just being developed. He had never had the experience before. So the idea was he was clean. He wasn't carrying any weapon. The guard was able to tell him everything that he had in his pocket, his keys and his fountain pen and so on. But as he walked away from that guard, he was pondering over that experience, and then he thought, if the Lord Jesus stopped me and examined my life, would I pass the test? Would he be able to say, I am clean? And that's a challenge for us all, brethren and sisters. Your face, your body, your clothes are all clean as you come to the Lord's house today. But what of your life? What of your heart? Can you say that you're clean today? No sin. No sin in your heart. No sin on your hands. No sin in your life. Think of your conversation. As believers, the speech that we use is something that should be pure. Paul said to the Ephesians, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Just ponder that for a moment. Let no corrupt communication. We all enjoy a good joke, but we do need to be careful. The kind of stories that we tell, the kind of stories that we listen to, the language that we use. The challenge is it should be clean, brethren and sisters. Peter, remember it was said, thy speech bereath thee. They knew who he was. They knew that he was a Galilean. They knew that he was a follower of Christ because of his speech, particularly because of his Galilean accent. But the reality is that your language will let others know who you are. And so it should be, brethren and sisters, with the Christian, especially with the Christian. By the speech we use, the words, the language, everybody should know that we're a follower of Jesus Christ. Not just your conversation should be clean, but your conduct. The psalmist spoke about clean hands and a pure heart. Remember, there's been a lot of emphasis over these last 2 years on clean hands. That's been one of the things that has been stressed the most, the need for hand sanitizers and so forth going in and out of buildings. So your hands clean today as you come to the house of God. The New Testament, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We should have a clean life, brethren and sisters. Mahatma Gandhi, remember, he was the great leader of India for a number of years. Gandhi said on one occasion he would have become a Christian if it had not been for the Christians. It's not a sad statement. The way that Christians lived, the conduct, the behavior, the life, the bad testimony of many Christians, that's what turned him away from the Christian faith. Turned him away from being a Christian himself. How sad that is, brethren and sisters. Think of the influence that a man like Gandhi could have had in his own country and across the earth. So you need to ask today, has your life, your conduct, has it turned someone away from Christ? Being a church member, brethren and sisters, emphasizes the fact that you should be clean. Clean living, that's the need of the hour, the need of the day in which we're found. So the first mark of the church membership, the fact you should be clean. The second one I'll emphasize is the matter of cooperating. Isn't it sad that many members of the church don't cooperate? They don't help in the ministries, the departments, the activities of the church. Remember, we don't believe in what is often described as a one-man ministry. There's too much to do in the church, too many activities, too many responsibilities for one person to be responsible for them all. I stress to you, brethren and sisters, God's work is a partnership. God's work is a team effort. The church of Christ is like a body. Remember, it's described in that way in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The church of Christ is like a body, and the various parts of the body all have a part to play in the functioning, in the health of the body. And so it is in the church of Christ. We all have a part. We all need to work together in the cause of the gospel. The New Testament stresses that. We are laborers together. And remember, we're laborers together with God. So what an honor, what a privilege the Lord has bestowed upon us. Can I emphasize for you, just quickly, some areas of church life that we should be cooperating in one with the other? Think first of all if you're attending. We touched on this a little last Sabbath morning, particularly attending the Sabbath evening service. But think of attendance at the meetings in general. The fact is, the least thing, the very least thing that any Christian, any member can do for the church is to come, to attend the services. And to come faithfully, whether it be summer or winter. Remember, Jonathan said to David, thou shalt be missed, for thy seat shall be empty. We want you to know today, if you're not here, You're missed. You're missed by the membership. You're missed by the believers. You're missed by the oversight. When your seat is empty, when you're not with us, you're missed from the house of God. Years ago in a church in the United States, there was a deaf man who was a very faithful attender at the meetings. In fact, it was remarked that he never missed a meeting in his local church. Someone, of course, through sign language, asked him one day, "Why do you come so faithfully? You can't hear the hymns. You can't even hear a note of the music. You can't hear a word of the prayers. You can't hear a word of the messages. Why do you come so faithfully to the church of God?" This is the answer he gave. He said, "I want people to know whose side I'm on. Who's on the Lord's side?" You know the way that some Christians act and behave? You would think they're on the devil's side, not on the Lord's side. So if you don't go along to the house of God regularly, people will think you're not serious about the Christian life. They'll think you're not serious about the gospel. They'll think you're not serious about the ministry that goes on in your local church, in your local congregation. So there's a need to cooperate in attending. There's a need to cooperate in giving. Many Christians don't like to hear about giving, don't like that subject spoken about, touched upon. In the days of John Wesley, there was a tight farmer, and he was taken along to a meeting by a friend, by a believer. Took him along to hear John Wesley preach himself. John Wesley was preaching that day on the subject of giving, and he had 3 points in the sermon. The first point was, make all the money you can. Well, the farmer liked that. He said amen whenever John Wesley announced the first point. The second point of the sermon was then, save all the money you can. Well, the farmer really liked that too. In fact, that point got a double amen from the farmer. He liked those 2 points. But the third point of John Wesley's sermon that day was, give all the money you can. And that farmer said afterwards that Mr. Wesley ruined his sermon there with that final point. If you read the life of John Wesley, you'll find that that's how he lived himself. What he was preaching, he practiced. Whenever his salary, his income increased, he continued to live on the same amount that he had before, but he gave more and more of his income away. But many Christians agree with that farmer that heard Mr. Wesley those many years ago. Remember, the Bible has much to say on the theme of Christian giving. Paul said to the Corinthians that we're to abound in this grace also. And that, men and women, those words refer to the grace of giving, as it is sometimes described. And remember, that's what it takes to give generously. That's what it takes to give sacrificially. That's the only way it can be done. That's the only way you can overcome the natural inclination of the heart to hold on to your money and to hold on to your wealth, just like that farmer those many, many years ago. It's only by the grace of God as it's manifested in our hearts and in our lives. That's what it takes, brethren and sisters. Paul said to the Corinthians, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. May the Lord enable us all. We spoke on that a few Wednesday nights ago from Revelation chapter 2, be thou faithful unto death. Are you faithful? Are you a good steward? Good steward of the money? Good steward of the wealth that you've been blessed with? As you think of giving, that point in Mr. Wesley's sermon, give all the money you can. Remember, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's not encouraging. In fact, that should encourage us to give. That should encourage us to give well, to give liberally, to give perhaps more than we've ever done before. Just think about more blessed or more blessed. There's a greater blessing on the giver than there is on the receiver. We're generally happier when we receive than when we give. But the Bible teaches there's a greater blessing, more blessed, more blessed for the person that gives than the person that receives. The third thing that we should cooperate in as church membership and as church members is our praying. Paul said, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Pray, you'll see that today as never before. How can you help in the work of God? How can we cooperate together, work together as a band of God's people? We can do that in prayer, brethren and sisters. That's why the prayer meeting, coming together as God's people, coming together regularly, faithfully. And we challenge you with that, especially as the summer approaches. Come to the prayer meeting. Let us cooperate. Let us pray together as a band of God's people. Very interesting missionary story is that of J.O. Fraser. He went to the Lisu people of China, a very remote area, walked through the mountains with a little backpack for weeks on end. Very, very challenging work. Died at a relatively young age. He had little prayer groups that they had formed. They sent them prayer letters, prayer requests. He wanted to emphasize to those little prayer groups the importance of their ministry and prayer, helping together by prayer. He wanted them to see that they had a part in his missionary work as they held the ropes at the throne of grace in prayer. And I want you to see the same today as well, brethren and sisters. Coming together to pray is not a matter of no significance. It's vital. It's a vital part of the ministry. And it's a vital part of the work that every Christian and every member here can have a part in. Samuel said to the children of Israel, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Can I ask you, do those words describe you this morning? You've ceased to pray. Did you pray today? Did you take time to pray this week? Have you a regular prayer time, regular quiet time? Have you ceased to come to the prayer meetings of the church? Notice how Samuel described it. God forbid that I should sin. We like to play it down, don't we? We like to gloss it over. But God says that when we fail to pray, when we cease to pray, it's a sin in the life of a Christian, the sin in the life of the church as well. The final area that we can cooperate together in is that of working. There are two questions, two vital questions that we should put to every congregation. Let me put those two questions to you this morning, brethren and sisters. One is, are you saved? Remember, there's nothing more important than that. I want to challenge every person in the meeting. Some of you come regularly and faithfully to these meetings, have done for many years, but still not saved, still not in Christ, still know nothing of his saving grace. You're not able to say as you look out into eternity this well, and that it will be well with your soul. So the first question is, are you saved? And if you can say today that you are saved, well, thank God for that. The other question is, are you serving? Are you serving the Lord? Remember, we're saved to serve the Master. Let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. Why did God redeem Israel out of Egypt? So that they could serve him. And it's just the same for you, brethren and sisters. Joshua could say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And remember when he said that, he was an old man. He was at the end of his days, drawing near to the close of his life. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 3, there's different occupations that are listed. There's the rulers, there's the goldsmiths, the jewelers, the apothecaries, they're like the chemists, the merchants, and so on, all sorts of different occupations. But what were they doing in Nehemiah chapter 3? They were all cooperating in the work. And brethren and sisters, it should be the same in the church. We should all be cooperating. Whatever your background, whatever your trade, whatever your job or occupation, just as it was in Jerusalem in the days of Nehemiah, we should all be cooperating, pooling our resources, laboring together for the extension of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. I read of a man one time that was a joiner, and in a period of 10 years, he had been on 36 work teams to mission fields all across the earth. We heard a little bit about that in the testimony last Sabbath evening. So that's averaging out there about 3.5 to 4 trips every year over a 10-year period. There's a work for Jesus that none but you can do. Can I ask you today, what have you done to help? What have you done to help the cause of Christ, the cause of the gospel? The Bible says of Mary that she did what she could. You can't sing, maybe you can't preach, and so on. But you can do what Mary did. You can do what you can. The Lord has a work for you to do in the church as well. So those are the first two marks. We're going to leave the message just there this morning. The first two marks of being a church member. Can I ask you today, as we finish, do you care? Do you care about the church? The future of the church? Do you care about your membership? Do you care about the matter of membership as it's taught in the Word of God? Do you care about the responsibilities of that membership? The responsibility of being clean, living a life that's holy, a life that's pure. The responsibility of cooperating, working together as a congregation, fellowshipping together as a band of the Lord's people. Our closing hymn, it asks a question. It's one we're familiar with. We're all familiar with. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Saviour? Are you ready His service to do? The Lord willing, we'll come back next Sabbath and finish that message mentioned, the other marks of faithful church membership. But we'll stand and sing the words of the hymn 515. After the first verse, I'll go down to the door just to speak and shake hands with those that are not able to stay for communion. We encourage as many as possible to remain behind. But I'll go down after the first verse in course. Let's stand as we sing 515, please.